If you've your Bibles, please could you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're looking at verses 1 through to 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through to 11. If you just hold that place, and I will come to you at some point, and we will go back and we will read those verses. Earlier this year, in May, in fact, a bunch of us from this church, 10 of us, in fact, went down to what has become known as the Hanmer Retreat in the South Island. Anyone been to Hanmer in the South Island? Yep, you know what I'm talking about. So a number of you have been, a beautiful place, absolutely a beautiful place. And we went down to this Hanmer Retreat, which is essentially a Holy Spirit retreat. It's something that was started approximately 14, 15 years ago, by a bunch of us, including Christine and myself, were on the team, where we, within the Baptist movement, when we went to the annual hui, what we used to be called the assembly, if you like, once a year, where all the churches gather together, and there's usually about 500 or 600 leaders and people there from Baptist churches, and we do have the annual kind of stuff that the union does. And a bunch of us got together one particular night. In fact, we didn't go to a particular session. It was boring. It was something about, I don't know what it was about, but I was bored and we were kind of bored. So we went out for dinner. And while we were bored at dinner, we started talking about, you know, there is in each one of us that was there that particular evening. It was organic. It wasn't something that was orchestrated. It was just something that happened. And we would say that the Holy Spirit was doing that in us at that time. That's what we would say. That God just opened up this conversation. And essentially it was along these lines. Well, if you were bored being here at this conference, and a lot of it was really good, by the way. A lot of it was good. That particular session wasn't. Instead of looking at that, why don't you look inward at yourself? Look at what I'm wanting to do in you so that I can do that through you. It was kind of like that. And that's kind of like a bit of a wake-up call, Irene, you know? Instead of looking over the fence at other people, why don't we actually first start with ourselves? If we're not happy with what something is happening here, there, or everywhere, perhaps we should look at ourselves first and get ourselves in line with what God is wanting to do. Perhaps it's better for us to be honest about who we are as people rather than trying to make them like me. You know what I'm saying? And it was kind of like that. And it wasn't in a very negative way. It was just that kind of a gentle, organic thing that, in fact, I was eating a T-bone steak at the time. So there you go. God is a very natural God, you know. And we started talking about this. Well, out of that conversation, the Hanmer Holy Spirit experience was birthed. Isn't that incredible? That's where it started. In fact, it was at the Lone Star Cafe in Palmerston North. There you go. Can anything good come out of Palmerston North? Anyone here from Palmerston North? There we go. They're great people. Welcome this morning. And as a result of that conversation, it was about 6, 7, or 8 of us. We went back to our churches and we started communicating and talking about, well, look, if this is a God thing, we need to do something about it. Never mind about what other people are doing or not doing. We need to do something about it. So we all flew into Christchurch for a weekend, and we spent some time talking about what we believe God was wanting to do. And as a result of that conversation, that May, I think it was May of that particular year, about 14 or 15 years ago, we did the very first Hanmer get together with a group of people, word of mouth. No one was asked to come. It was just word of mouth kind of thing. And I think the first time there was about 25 of us were there, and we had worship for 3 days, and we had prayer and fasting, and we did all that kind of stuff, all this kind of Holy Spirit stuff. But it was phenomenal for those that were there. Following year, we did the same thing again. I think it was 37 or 38 people came again. It wasn't advertised through the Baptist media streams or anything like that. It was just word of mouth. If you wanted to come, this is what we're doing. You're welcome. And so that was fine. Year 3, I think the numbers just kind of jumped up to about 50 or 60 or something like that. Year 4, 120. Now, nothing was orchestrated in the sense that as a group of people, we were just hungry for more of God. It was that simple. Now, I can't go outside this boundary, can I, with the film thing? Right. The Holy Spirit told me to go over here. So we just began to do this thing, and after a period of time, it caught on, and the team up at the National Center, a terrific bunch of people up there, our national leader, heard what we were doing and wanted to know how things were going, and we sat down and talked it through with them, and they said, look, God's doing something organic here. That's what they were saying, and we want to be involved too. So now it kind of went on the calendar, if you like. Well, fast forward to where we are now. Fast forward, about 14 years later or something like that. So 10 of us went down this year to the Hanmer conference. And what stood out for me, a couple of things stood out for me. Registrations for this conference, last year it wasn't on because of COVID. I mean, a lot of things were cancelled last year, weren't they? So we didn't do it last year, but this year it was back on stream again. All the previous years, there's been numbers kind of fluctuated around maybe 110, 120. This year, they shut registrations down 6 weeks out from the event because 220 people had registered and the venue couldn't take any more. Okay, there's a reason why I'm telling you that. When we began to critique after the event, as the team got together, why this was so, what became obvious to us, what was, if you like, measurable, was that people had come not because they had to, but because they wanted to. And they came because we believe God is doing something fresh and new within the Baptist movement in terms of His Holy Spirit, the ministry, the work, the presence, the person of who He is. These people came because they were hungry. They wanted more. That's why they were there. And that's the story we've been told. And here's the interesting thing about it. A lot of the folk that were there this time, this extra 100-odd folk that I just mentioned, a lot of them that were there. These were representative right across the theological and experiential spectrum of the Baptist Union of Churches. There were people there who you would call conservative. There are those who you would call middle of the road. And there are those who you would call charismatic. And if you're Richard, extreme charismatics. You know? Right, brother. It's all right. It's a compliment, by the way. Yeah, good. These were people represented right across the spectrum of our movement. And that tells me, church, God is doing something new. God is doing it. We may have begun something 15 years ago, even at a very human level. But you know what God will do? The Holy Spirit will take what you have in your heart and in your hand, and when God adds to it, look out. What He can do is far greater than anything that you can do. When He begins to move in that kind of way, things start to happen. Yeah? Well, that's what it was like this last time. The place was oversubscribed and they had to shut registrations off because they just couldn't take any more. And the other thing to be aware of, it's not open to any other denomination. It's purely within our Baptist movement. It's purely for Baptist people that go to Baptist churches. Yeah, that's a better way to say it. So that's the backdrop, and I want you to hold that thought or those thoughts while I kind of speak into this this morning. You know, the last 3 weeks being away on sick leave, I had a lot of time to, as you do, you reflect. Because I've had time to, and it's been really, really good. So I just want to kind of speak into something that I believe God has said to me that I want to share with you. You take from it what you believe God is saying to you. So according to Google, and of course Google's always right, isn't he? She. Oh, it's Siri, isn't it? She's always right. According to Google, there are an estimated 4,200 religions worldwide. Did you know that? 4,200 religions worldwide. Taking Christianity then as our reference, which according to Google is the largest portion, 31% of the Earth's population has some sort of Christian affiliation or Christian understanding, what we'd call Christian. I'm not necessarily saying that they're like you, but they have this kind of belief in God and through Jesus Christ. 31%. When you take a closer look at all other belief systems, what sets Christianity apart from every other religion is this. It is the person, the presence, the power, and the work of who? The Holy Spirit. That's what sets it apart. If you were to pick one thing that is the point of difference, it's that. The presence, the work, the power, and the work of the Holy Spirit. As I said, while I was on sick leave, Christine and I had time to talk this through together. And we'd been sharing with each other what we believe, the kind of sense that we have of what we believe God is doing in our church, in us, and wanting to do in us as we go into the future as it relates to the Holy Spirit. So I want to share with you this morning what I sense God is saying to us about this incredible gift. That's gift with a capital G, of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit, Rob, who is here right now. His presence is in this place because he's in you. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great news? He is in you. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have committed your life to following him, that means you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'll talk about that a little later on. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you're like, where you are with your life right now, the Holy Spirit is in you. Whether you've shut him away in the back room somewhere, or he's active right in the front room of your life, he is still in you. That's the baptism of the Spirit. And that comes at salvation, at the point of salvation. We'll talk about that briefly a little later on. So I want to begin a series this morning about the Holy Spirit. And as you can see, I'm actually quite animated about the whole thing. I'm quite encouraged by what I think and believe God is going to do with us as a church, because of what is already in you as a church. And I want to start with an obscure reference to the Holy Spirit. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Now, I'll read it out to you. Philippians 1, 12 through to 14, it says this. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, Paul, has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident. Did you get that? Because of his chains, what he was going through, most of the brothers and sisters, they became confident in the Lord and did all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Now, I used the word before that it's an obscure reference. Let me explain that. Notice those verses do not mention the Holy Spirit at all. Do they? It's not there. But undergirding Paul's testimony, church, I can promise you, is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit working in him and now working through him. And he's in jail. Did you catch that? Paul is saying, I believe, if you think that God has finished with you, he's in prison. He's saying, if you think that God has finished with you, and the Philippine Christians, the church at that time, were going through a difficult time, they were being pressured and persecuted at the same time, he's in jail, and they're suffering outside of the jail cell because of their faith in God. I think what Paul is saying, because of that, because of who is in you and the who is the Holy Spirit, then God is not finished with you yet. God is not done with you. Did you hear that? God is not done with you yet. Hello, everyone. Everyone good? You're up, Becky? God's not done with you, Becky. Yeah, exactly. Well, me too. I get it. Me too. You know, you may be thinking, I can't change my circumstances, so how on earth can I help others change theirs? You might be one of those people. You may be thinking that your ability to make a difference is limited at best, and maybe even that it's over. You may even be thinking that God doesn't even see you, so how couldn't he use you? How could he use you if he doesn't even see you? Hear the word of the Lord for you this morning. God sees you. That's a word for some people here this morning. Diane, God sees you. Dave, God sees you. You do not escape his attention. He sees you. Paul was incarcerated in jail, and I suspect if he had a choice, he did not want to be there. But being full of the Holy Spirit, being in union with Christ because of God's grace received through faith, which, by the way, is the position in Christ that we all have as of right. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are positioned in him as of right. Doesn't matter how you feel. It's what God does in the spirit realm with your life. It's a right that he bestows upon you when you come to faith in him. Paul, in the midst of being in jail, was at peace, full of joy, confident that God was going to use him anyway. You can't do that outside of the presence and work of the Holy Spirit. Can you? Isn't that right? Irene, is that right? You can't do it. You can't do it in your own strength. The man's in jail writing this letter. The Philippine church are outside proclaiming the name of Jesus under persecution, but they're still proclaiming the name of Jesus. No one's going to shut them down. You can't do that unless the Holy Spirit in you is working through you. Compared to everyone else in that jail, here's my question. What was Paul's point of difference? Well, first was the presence of the Holy Spirit in him. But second, it's that. Let's read this together. His willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to work in him so that God could work through him. You know, even though you feel that you're not seen, God sees you. You may feel unwanted, but you're exactly who God wants. You may feel less than, but in God's economy, you are more than. You are more than enough. You know, some Christians spend their whole life waiting on God. But I think God says this to us. No, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to respond, to move, to make a decision, to put your hand in my hand and walk with me. Jeremy kind of touched on that a bit last week in his message about we need Moses. He just made a decision. A very natural and practical decision, but God was in that with him. And when he made that decision, goodness gracious me, what happened? The tide of battle turned. Sometimes it's about making, just simply making a decision. Never mind the circumstances. It's kind of like God is saying, trust what I have given you, which is His Holy Spirit, and walk in union with me. He'll take care of the rest. Hello, someone out there? You know, again, Pastor Jeremy quoted these words from Matthew 25:21 last week. Well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the words that he quoted. But let's read the rest of the verse. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. You know what that tells me? It simply tells me, use what you already have been given, and God will add to it. Take what God has given you already, whatever that happens to be, and start with that, and God will bring the increase. You know, that also tells me that verse, that at the end of our life, we will be graded by God. We will be graded depending on whether we have done what He has asked us. So church, here's what I want you to hear this morning and take this into your spirit. The time is right now. The time is today. For every one of us here, the time is today to acknowledge what God has already given us, His Spirit, and accept that we are in a now time to do what He has called us to do. This is a now time. Not tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year, but now. The time is now. Now, Ecclesiastes 11:4 says this, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. And I think so many people, they want all the ducks to line up in a row before they do whatever it happens to be that God's asking them. Oh God, okay God, yep, I hear what you're saying, you want me to do this, but that needs to be there, and I want this to be all in place before I will do that thing that you asked me. If you wait for perfect conditions, folks, you'll get nothing done. You'll sit on your laurels, probably, still waiting on God, and God says, no, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to act. I'm waiting for you to do something with what I've already given you. Then, God, I'll add to it. You can trust me on that one. Don't wait for perfect conditions, folks. Because if you do, nothing will change. Nothing will change. Thank you. If anyone has the personality to want everything lined up in a row, that would be me before I do anything. But I've learned over the years, if God has said, Paul, this is what I want you to do, I need to act on that and trust Him for the rest. I've learned that over time. It's what God says. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Begin with what you have already received. Take hold of what God is wanting you to do in you now. Take hold of that so that He can work through you now. So the word for us today is that we, church, are in a now time. Someone say, hallelujah. We are in a now time. Now, today. Never mind tomorrow. It's coming like a freight train that's going to come next week, next month, next year. What about today? Start today. So with all that in mind, I told you I'd come to that scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, if you've got it there, verses 1 through to 11. Let's look at this morning's text. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know that at one time you were unbelievers. You were somehow drawn away to worship statues of gods that couldn't even speak. So I want you to know that No one who is speaking with the help of God's Spirit says, may Jesus be cursed. And without the help of the Holy Spirit, no one can say Jesus is Lord. Notice what it says there. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, you can't do those things. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but they are all given to believers by the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but they all come from the same Lord. There are different ways the Spirit works, but the same God is working in all these ways and in all people. Verse 7, the Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way. That is for the good of all. Please underline that word, the good. The good of all. All, not just a select group, not just a group of super spiritual kinds of super spirits, you know, that you see every now and again, the chandelier swingers, those kind of people. No, for the good of the whole body of Christ. So when the Spirit of God begins to move in a way that you may not have seen before, ask yourself this, is what I'm seeing blessing the people that who are receiving it? Is it a blessing to them? Because if it's not, you can dismiss it. Stay with me. Where was I from the good of all? Somewhere there. Oh yeah, verse 8. To some people the Spirit gives a message of wisdom. Some people have this ability to speak a word of wisdom to somebody else because God's downloaded that to them. To others the same Spirit gives a message of knowledge. You have an understanding that is not obvious to other people, but God gives you a word of knowledge for a particular person or a particular situation. Well, I'm encouraging you, church, if that's you here this morning and you operate in that gift or you've operated before and it's been shut down, I want to see it open up again. If God's given you something for somebody else and it's going to build them up, that's the key. It's not to pull them down. It's to build them up. Then share it, for goodness sakes. Share it with them. Do it privately. If it's for the whole body of us here together as a church, through the eldership, through the senior leadership, share the word with them. And if we've discerned that this is something for our church, we're going to get you to share it. Is that okay? Church? Yeah. Dad, I've got your permission. It's good. So this word of knowledge to the same, to others, the same spirit of faith. To others, that one Spirit gives gifts of healing. To others, he gives the power to do miracles. To others, he gives the ability to prophesy. To others, he gives the ability to tell the spirits apart, to discern. To others, he gives the ability to speak in different kinds of languages they had not known before. And to still others, he gives the ability to explain what was said in those languages. So if there is a tongue shared in this church, I want to know what it says in English so that everyone understands we're not confused. That's what it says here. Now you can speak, I speak in tongues. When I'm here in the morning, that's why Jeremy doesn't come down to 8:30. He doesn't know what to hear. I scare the living daylights out of him. But that's privately between me and God. I don't have to explain that to you. But when it's done in a public way, we need to know what's being said. Yeah? Really, really important. All the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit. He gives gifts to each person as God, the Holy Spirit, decides. Okay. In the book of Acts, would you agree that many signs and wonders are recorded? Would you agree with that? And it's true. What was recorded in Acts is probably just a snapshot of what was going on in the broader picture. But that's the parts that they recorded. Many signs and wonders. But what stands out about the church that no one can dispute? Here it is. The church was vibrant. It was full of life. The presence and power of the Holy Spirit was central in all that they did. I think that's actually one of the... And what that means is that the gifts of the Spirit were operating amongst them. And hear this, please hear the word of the Lord about this. The gifts of the Spirit were operating in that with those people, the early church, and that was normal. That was just normal. That's what their life was like. Their faith life was, that was just normal. So all of those gifts that I read out before, in 1 Corinthians, those things, prophecy, word of knowledge, gifts of healing and all that, thank you very much, that simply was just normal church life. Are you excited? You should be, because he's in you. The same Spirit is in you, you and you. Move on, Paul. It was normal. And the result was that multitudes were coming to Christ. Let me read that again. The gifts of the Spirit were operating, and that was normal. And the result of that was multitudes were coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Woohoo! Why? Firstly, because they had received the Holy Spirit just as you have. But secondly, this does come up. Secondly, they lived their lives ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. Firstly, they believed and they'd received, but then they put it into action. They began to minister in the power, in His power. In other words, what they had received inwardly was being expressed outwardly. They weren't holding it to themselves. They weren't keeping it as some sort of secret society with a secret weapon. They were expressing what God had given them inwardly. They were expressing it outwardly. Not only had they heard the word and received the word, but they were, as James says, doers of the word. I really want you to take this into both your head and your heart and connect the two. Your head and your heart. I want you to take this in. This Holy Spirit in us has been given to us to work through us. So what are we doing with what God has given us? That's the question, isn't it? I ask myself that all the time. What am I doing with what God has already given me, Rob? And when I ask myself that question, I get the answer immediately. I know if I'm operating in what I should be doing or standing back and just putting him in the back room and shutting the door and say, not today. You know, Luke, who wrote Acts in his earlier gospel, recorded what Jesus began both to do and to teach the disciples and by implication us while he was on earth. But the book of Acts tells us what Jesus continues to do through us, his church. So this, I've said this many times, when Jesus left and went to be back with the Father, went to go back to the Father, he commissioned the church to represent him. That actually means represent. It's more than that, though. It's in the sense of re-presenting him through us to people that don't know him. He commissioned us to do that. And we do it, and we can only do it through the presence and the person and the power of his Spirit. Does anyone disagree with that? I dare you to put your hand up. Just kidding. So I thought this morning, instead of just listening to me rabbiting on about this stuff, I'd get three or four people who came to Hanmer with me and get them to share their testimony. So Pastor Jeremy, come on up. We've got a microphone for Jim? Oh, you got one. Good man. And Monique, if you could get ready to come up second, then Richard, and then Andrew. So, Jim, some of our people probably don't know your history when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that kind of thing. But you and I have journeyed together for the last, 4.5 years, and got to know each other pretty well, I would say. And you've told me a whole host of things about your background. And I remember saying to you some time back that, you know, I'd love to take you down the handmill with me at some point. And you were, he was a bit nervous about that at first. But over time, that's something that had kind of changed. You were really excited about going down. Tell us, from your perspective, what you saw down there and what God did for you.
Yes, as I shared last week in my sermon, I come from quite conservative evangelical backgrounds, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit weren't really talked about or practiced, and so it was a bit, foreign. But about 6 years ago, as I was going through a difficult time, I became more and more convinced that I need more of God, and I need more of His Spirit. And that was part of kind of coming under Pastor Paul, was just to learn more about that, learn more about, what is the role of the Holy Spirit. So going to Hammer was a real stepping out of the boat for me, stepping out of my comfort zone. And it was actually pretty epic. And the first thing I observed is that this was really safe. It was done in a real safe way. Nothing was forced upon anyone. No one was made to do anything. You just journeyed with God in a way that was comfortable for you. And there were people there to talk to, people to draw alongside, help. So it was extremely safe, which is probably what I needed to kind of go on this next part of my journey. The next thing I observed was just the love and joy for Jesus Christ. On one of these nights, I mentioned a bit last week, but everyone was just worshiping God in quite, or in different ways. There were people like our Richard dancing for joy. My wife is going through with flags. Some people are just like jumping up and down on the spot. Some people are on their knees. Some people are just standing there like this with their arms open. There was no right or wrong way to worship. But I remember seeing this one guy, and he's just kind of jumping up and down to the music. And I looked at his face. I actually just started weeping because his face, this guy is, how old is he?
A bit older than me.
A bit older than Paul, so pretty young. He's jumping up and down, and his face reminded me of like an 8-year-old boy on Christmas morning. Just the joy for Jesus, the love for Jesus. I was just weeping. I was like, this is beautiful. So I'm watching this go on, just going, this is one of the most beautiful, because the joy for the Lord and the love for Jesus was just fantastic. So that's a bit of what I observed.
That's great, mate.
Yeah.
Was there anything else you wanted to add to that? That was it?
That's
fabulous. Thank you, Jeremy. That's fabulous.
I could talk a lot about Hammer, but
can I have the microphone now, please, mate? Monique, could you come up? Monique, thanks, buddy.
I do.
You may recall, because when I'm on leave and I've got other preachers in, I always listen to the messages. I'm in charge of the preaching team, so come on up, please, Monique. I listened to the message, and I loved every message. I absolutely loved every one of them. They were a blessing to me and a joy to my heart. Jeremy mentioned last week about his raising hands. Do you remember that? He mentioned that, and he, for him, that was kind of like a new experience. Okay, and I understand, because I've been there, done that. I want to say this about the raising of hands in worship. I don't care whether you raise your hands or not. It's not about me. It's about you and Him. Whether you raise your hands or not raise your hands doesn't mean you're extra spiritual or less spiritual than anybody else. It's something that you want to do or you don't want to do. It doesn't mean that God's going to pass you by if you've got your hands at your side. That's not what that's all about. But my experience with raising hands, because at first when I became a Christian, I saw these other people doing, and I thought, God, that's a bit embarrassing. Why would I do that? You know, I'm rugby player and all that kind of stuff, and you don't do that kind of thing. But God did a work on me. Here's what the conclusion I've come to. Whether you raise your hands or not isn't between you and God. It's got to be between you and Him. But here's what I experienced when I eventually came to that place, that line, and I crossed the chicken line on that issue. It was an issue of surrender. That's what it was. It was about me surrendering my will to His will. Now, God might not be asking you to do that. That's between you and Him. But even in a war, because I think there is a spiritual battle that goes on here when it comes to this stuff. Sorry, Monique, just give me 1 minute. a spiritual battle, even in war, how do those that have been, how do they signal surrender? They raise their hands. That's all that that is. As God, I'm going to do this your way. Now, God might be asking you in our church to go on that journey with him to begin raising your hands in worship. That's between you and him. I could care less what you do. It's between you and him. Have you heard that? It's between you and him. Where's she? Oh, there she is. I thought you'd gone up in the, well, you know, what do they call it? The rapture. They'd raptured you. Monique, come and stand over here, please. So, Monique, over the since you've been in the church, we've kind of talked a lot, especially in your role in the office, and we've talked about your background and when it comes to the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And at some point I know your background now, and I've talked with Reg, and I've read his wonderful book, a terrific book, and your experiences in South Africa. So share with us just a little bit about what you came from and then what you saw at Hanmer.
Okay, so we come from a, we did experience churches in South Africa that perhaps operated in, I don't think it was in the Holy Spirit, or perhaps it was not very guided or very biblical. At times we experienced it to be very harassed. And and I think really just a misrepresentation of God's Spirit, which I think is very sad. And I think it can really be a stumbling block to a lot of people. And inevitably, it ended up being a stumbling block for me. And so when Pastor Paul spoke to me about joining the team for Hanmer, I was a little bit conflicted. And I needed to speak to Christine. And I spoke to Pastor Paul about it very openly. And I really needed to think it through carefully. And I was quite reluctant, going into Hanmer. Having come from the background and the experiences that Reg and I have had. But I have to admit that I really wanted to also, and that's a conversation I had with Pastor Paul, was I didn't want to continue to almost shut myself off and to be afraid and anxious, because I don't believe that's from God, and I don't believe that's, it's unbiblical. That's not how he operates.
No.
Fear is not from the Lord. And I wanted the opportunity to go and face this and to really just experience the way that God wants it to be, the way that he intends it to be.
Yeah.
And so at Hanmer, that is what I experienced. I experienced peace. And I can echo what Jeremy said. Nothing was forced upon you. Nothing was... nobody pushed you into anything. You weren't manipulated into anything the way that we experienced it in South Africa. And there was just a sense of peace, and where you could just come before the Lord authentically, and he could just meet you at that place that you find yourself, and he could just gently work with you in your own way, in a very real way, very authentic way. And there was just this amazing sense of peace, and I was very blessed by it.
Yeah. And would it be fair to say that, and I'm not wanting to put words into your mouth here, but I need to kind of be honest, that God met you exactly where you were at?
Yeah, absolutely. And really it was that place of doubt and asking questions and being cautious. But that's what's so amazing about the Holy Spirit, is that he receives you in that place of vulnerability, and he can pick you up and he can show you how it's supposed to be done according to his word and in his will for your life. And so it's not that we need to come perfectly, or we need to have all the answers. We can come with our vulnerabilities to him, and he meets you in that place that you find yourself at.
So what would you say, Monique, if I said to you this morning that God has given you a preaching gift?
I don't know.
You go sit down. Richard, come on up, mate. This will be interesting. Gotten to know this guy over the last couple of years, and I just love him to bits. He's flipping awesome. Richard, hold that. Would be fair to say that your experience with the Holy Spirit, you're on the charismatic side of quite charismatic and that side of thing. You and I've talked a lot about that and the gifts of the Spirit and your absolute passionate desire to see more of that operating in our fellowship. Tell me, what was your experience like at Hanmer? What went on for you there? What did God show you?
Right. Well, I've never been to a Baptist convention before. I've been in charismatic Pentecostal circles, so I've seen the good, the bad, and I've seen the ugly as well. So I thought, well, I'll come down to this place. I've got an open mind. Let me discern to see what is happening here. And I concur with what has been shared about the no pressure, the liberty, the freedom that was there was absolutely tremendous. I've heard a lot of prophetic things said over the years, and there's been good and bad in that. And a lot of the prophetic was happening down there. Different people would come up and pray for you, just where you were at. And the words that were shared were so life-affirming. They were so accurate and so full of... It was like hearing from heaven through these men and women, words that God was speaking to you. And those words are still impacted in my spirit. And they've given me such confidence because they came from God, because... A lot of the people there that prayed for me didn't know who I was. And that's the beauty of it. And, you know, I think of that scripture where God says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." And that's what I sensed down at Hamner, that we went down there and as we heard God knock on our door of our heart, there was a sense of trust, of love, of freedom to allow God to allow us to open the door of our heart to God and fully receive what he had for us. And I tell you something, when the freedom of the Lord is there, I mean, I'm not too sure about seeing some of these videos later on about dancing and all the rest of it, but it was so freeing.
You're on my phone, I got you.
Yeah, it was so freeing and liberty.
Richard, thank you for that. And Jeremy was sharing that. I saw this guy get up and grab this flag. Whether you believe in waving a flag in a church service, I don't know what your theology is on that, but it's certainly not anti-scripture. It's not anti-scripture, that's for sure. There's probably something that I probably need to do some teaching into, some understanding, so that we understand what the spirit behind it, that is. But to see this young man here, honestly, it was like 20 or 30 years had been shaved off his life, and he was like a kid in a candy store. It was just wonderful to watch. God did something in you, did he not?
Yeah, it's so... I mean, when you take that step, you know, that...
The chicken line.
Yeah, Pastor Paul, that you step out of your comfort zone. And, you know, there's over 200 people there, all in different places between our relationship with God. Some were watching, some were stepping more into the water up to their ankles, some were going up to the waist, and anyone like me were going head first, right in, you know.
That's right.
But God met you where you were.
Yeah.
And the more that you allow God to, as you open your heart, open your spirit to him, it's just in his nature. He wants to reveal revelation after revelation, glory after glory. We're going to have eternity with God and still discover new things about God. And we can do this right now, right here, right today.
That's good, Richard.
And when I was in that place of that liberty, it's just the most freeing thing that you could experience.
That's
so
awesome,
I just recommend it.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard. That's terrific. Andrew, you're my last one. Come on, yeah, give him a hand. Give him a hand. Andrew, you're in charge of our prayer ministry team and the watchman team on a Sunday night when we meet, and doing a wonderful job there. Tell us what God did for you, or what God was saying to you in your experience down there.
Well, it's been my privilege to go down to Hamner, I think, ever since Paul and Christine arrived here, and one of the beautiful things that God did was that there'd been a team of intercessors faithfully praying for the life of the church, and there was a real connection with Paul and with Christine that this is something special. And we weren't aware of what was going on at Hamner Springs, but we were invited the very first year that Paul and Christine were there. And so we went down to Hamner Springs. And the experience for me there was that sometimes we can get stuck, or we can kind of lose our way in the Christian life. We can have wonderful experience of Jesus when we come to faith. And for me, it was as a young person. And but we can get dry. We can get stuck in the issues of life. And so the thing that I felt God was saying to me, and I struggled for some time, but I just knew that I had to lie down, prostrate myself, and consecrate myself to God fully and say, everything, 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 I'm giving you my everything, Holy Spirit. And in the church background that I came from, there was a real fear of the Holy Spirit. People had a fear that if you allowed the Holy Spirit to take control of your life, he'd send you to deepest, darkest Africa or something like that. But in my experience, that's not the Father heart of God. He might prepare a person to do that, definitely. But often what he does is he takes the way that we're wired and he kind of superwires us to be far more effective than we could ever be.
It's a good way of putting it.
In our life. So for each year that I've gone to Hamner, this has kind of been what my experience is a bit like. On a farm, usually once a year, you drench the sheep, and sometimes you put them through a water run, and the sheep would have to swim through, and you'd dip them so that they wouldn't get
lice and
bugs and things like that. And so for me, going to Hamner Springs, it's like going through the sheep run. And I wouldn't say that I've got lice, but that probably need to stop the analogy there. One of the beautiful things about being a believer and submitting to the Holy Spirit is that there's a if a person's wounded in their spirit, then often ticks will attach themselves to that wounding.
Yeah.
And you can try and pull the ticks out, but if you pull the ticks out, the wounds get worse and you can bleed more and you can get more infection. But there's a type of the Holy Spirit as of the oil, and a shepherd would pour the oil out on the wounds and where the ticks were. And what it would do was, if the ticks didn't get out of the way, they would drown. But the oil would be poured out and it would heal the wounds.
That's the soothing part,
It would soothe it. So for me, when I say, Holy Spirit, take me and do whatever you want with me, I don't care, whatever it takes, and that's sometimes very, very hard, I know that I'm becoming more like Jesus. And the more I become like Jesus, the more I can help other people.
Yeah.
So when we go down to Hamner, it's not to have the latest buzz of the Holy Spirit and come back and say, wow, that was great.
Yeah.
It's actually to say, we're here to, in a sense, pray and pour out that blessing over each and every one of you.
That's good. That's awesome, mate. That's awesome. Andrew, I was observing you down there, and you were having that kind of one-on-one time with God. There was a lot of one-on-one time with just you and God. Did God meet you where you were at?
Yes. So, you know, some of you who don't know me too well will know that I have issues. And sometimes God will just put you alongside someone who's been through those issues, and they'll be able to minister to you in those particular situations. So I found that. Mm. But then I'd find that there'd be someone else who would have a gifting, and they'd see something in my life, and they'd speak something out, which was affirming.
Yes, and lift you up. Yeah.
and it would lift me up, and it was to do with writing.
Yeah.
Writing. And so you can get God minister into the bits that need attention, but also the things where he's taking us.
Yeah, the possibilities for the future.
And God was doing that in many, many people.
That's awesome, mate. Just give that microphone to Jeremy. Yeah, thanks, mate. Thank you, the team that were just... Yeah, thank you for all of you just willing to share. I want to wrap this up just in a few minutes. Then we're going to go into time of worship. So clearly we've done things a bit differently this morning, as I'm sure you've picked up. But for those of you who are not sure about the work of the Holy Spirit, let me briefly explain, and this is very brief. Let me explain who he is and what his role is. Firstly, the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is actually a divine person. He has a personality, he must have, because we can actually grieve the Holy Spirit. So he's got to have a personality to do that. He's a person. In fact, in the Greek New Testament, always calls the Holy Spirit he, never it. It's not an it or an impersonal force. Neither is the Holy Spirit a ghost. The old King James Version calls the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. Well, I can assure you that the Holy Spirit is not someone dressed up in a white sheet. That's not who he is. He is the third member comprising of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit begins to move, it's not another spirit. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ himself. It's not a different kind. It's one of the same kind. But we call him the Holy Spirit. And he comes to comfort, to empower, to minister. Those four people that just shared, nothing that they shared in their own experience was a put down of who they were or a condemnation of who they were. It was a building up and a lifting up of who they were. That's what the Father heart of God does when he begins to move, when it's a genuine move of God. He comes to comfort and empower, minister to anyone willing to receive him. Earlier in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist had announced the coming of the Holy Spirit, prophesying that through Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That word fire is really interesting. When you go a bit deeper, verse 12 of Matthew 3 is a reference to future judgment. Some people think that the fire part is entirely a reference to the fire of judgment when that time comes. And that may very well be true, but I think it's more than that. I think the fire part suggests that the Holy Spirit comes and burns away the garbage in our lives, the dross in our lives, so that we can be the person that he designed us and called us to be. I think that the word fire relates to that as well. And when the Spirit of God comes, not only are we empowered to live this new life in Christ, but he also burns away, as I've just said, that garbage that accumulates in our lives that would otherwise, if God doesn't take that stuff away and deal with that stuff that you are willing to hand over to him, you'll never be able to live that new life in Christ. It'd be kind of like walking with an impediment in your life, with a big weight around your ankles, trying to move forward, but you're dragging this anchor all the time. Well, God wants to burn that stuff away. So we are free to move in him, free to walk in him and walk with him. Therefore, when you accept Jesus into your life, this is what happens. The Holy Spirit quite naturally takes up residence in you. So if you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, the Holy Spirit is in you. He is resident in you. He becomes a part of who you are. And because he is a person, a whole person, we receive all of him. You don't just get the parts of the Holy Spirit that you want. You get all of him. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will come, not only encourage us, but he will convict us of unrighteousness. He will convict us of sin. That's part of who he is. We get all of him. And for good reason too. You know, doing life, in fact, Andrew just kind of touched on it. It can be likened to driving a car. You can't run it forever on a single tank of gas, I wish. But as we drive, the fuel level reduces and it reduces and reduces. But Ephesians 5:18 says this, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's in the present tense in the original Greek language, which actually means keep on being filled. It implies that we run out. That's what it implies, and that's what it's saying. So when the tank gets low, what do? We pull over to the BP station and we refuel. Well, the same is true with the Holy Spirit, which is why Paul says in Ephesians, and actually it's a command in Ephesians. It's not a suggestion. It's actually a command by Paul to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Be filled constantly. I said earlier I was going to touch on the baptism of the Spirit. This will take about 30 seconds. Being filled constantly with the Holy Spirit is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm a firm believer that at the point of salvation, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe it's a one-off event. That's it. Now, you might have a different opinion. That's fine. But I can prove to you from Scripture that I'm right and you're wrong. And I'm sure you can prove from Scripture that I'm wrong and you're right. So let's not fight over it. That's what I believe. Baptism of the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation, a one-off event. But I've got to tell you, folks, in my life, my tank runs empty sometimes. There are times when I run out of fuel, run out of energy, sometimes run out of passion. And I need to be refilled from time to time. I need to park my car up at the station and refuel again with His presence. Does that make sense? That's the infilling of, that's not a rebaptism. That's an infilling, a refilling. As I explained earlier, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive all of Him. And what Paul is saying here is that at salvation, we have all of the Holy Spirit. We have all of the Holy Spirit. But here's Paul's point. At the point of salvation, He comes in His fullness. We have all of Him. But my question to every one of us, including myself, but does He have all of us? We have all of Him, but does He have all of us? Because Paul could recognize as you go about your life, we will run out of gas. Therefore, we have every right to ask Him time and time again to fill us afresh. Isn't that cool? Isn't that wonderful news? Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they will be filled. So I want to ask you this morning as Jeremy brings the team up. Are you content with your Christian life as it is right now? Ask yourself that question. Are you content with it as it is right now? If you are, that's fine. It's perfectly fine. But if you think there's something missing, well, hang on. Hang in there. Here's another question. Are you content with the level of God's Holy Spirit operating in you right now? Has operating in you? Are you content with that? If you are, that's fine. But if you're not, there's more. Here's another question. Do you think that we as a church are operating in the fullness of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit? Anyone want to answer that? Do you think we are? Please, anyone want to answer that? Do you think we are? I don't. Absolutely not. And the moment that we think that we are, I can promise you God will have more. That's the point. So you can't kind of outdo God. God doesn't have an upper limit. We have limits, but He doesn't. And we can limit Him by refusing Him. You know, the early church believers didn't believe that they had it all. And the book of Acts shows that the early church were not content with life as they knew it. When these folk were in the upper room, they were already saved. Did you realize that? Before the Spirit of God was given in that upper room experience, tongues of fire and all that kind of stuff, they were still saved, those believers. They were Christians, if you like. But they wanted more. When the Holy Spirit came, they said, wow, I thought I had it before, but this is nothing for what I'm experiencing now. That was nothing. They wanted more, so they continued to pray and ask for more. And you know what happened? God gave them more. That's it. And here's another point. God gave them more, not so that they could have more, but so they could do more. We too can ask for more, and God says in His Word that He will give you more. That's what His Word says. Two final points, and we're just going to go into worship, and we're going to see what God does. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as a gift. I looked up the English dictionary. The word gift means this: something bestowed or acquired without any particular effort by the recipient or without being earned. You cannot buy this gift. It cannot be bought or sold, but it can be refused. This is a free gift in the truest sense of the word gift. That's what the Holy Spirit is to us. A free gift that God bestows because He desires to do so. It's His pleasure. It is His goodwill to give you that gift. In fact, in that sense, the Holy Spirit is the gift that keeps on giving. Second point, to experience this refilling, it begins with a simple decision that essentially says this: okay, Holy Spirit, I am willing and I'm open to receive all that you have for me. And the time is now.